Good evening. Good to see you tonight. I ask if you will to turn with me over to the book of Philippians. We'll be reading there verses 13 through 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, I counted not myself to apprehend or yet to have laid hold. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. As we consider the idea that we have before us tonight, to aim high. I know you've heard the Air Force motto, aim high, and that's certainly something that is we want to keep in mind, because we do, as God's people, want to be people who are aiming high, not just satisfied with those things that we can just get by with, but always trying to do our very best for the Almighty God. You know, when I was thinking on this, I studied these things, considering taking aim and how they relate to this passage of and running the race, if you will, that we have for God. And it crossed my mind that I wonder what kind of country we would be living in today if our military were folks in days gone by who had been willing to take aim but not willing to fire. You ever thought about that? It doesn't do much good to take aim and not fire, and it doesn't do very good at all not to have any aim at all, because then we just don't know where things are going to go. So tonight, as we look at these passages, we're going to think about these things very carefully, because you and I live in a very noisy world. And when we're trying to do our best to aim high, to be God's people, the way that we need to be, all of the distractions cause us to lose our aim, if you will. You know, I was thinking, Roger, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. You know what he likes to do to me sometimes is he'll come by the door and he'll pop on the door, you know, and I'll jump if I'm not expecting it. You know, that happens. And I used to love to do that to Stephanie, too. Did you notice I said used to? There was an incident I'll not share right now, but at any rate. But, you know, when those kind of things come our way, when things are, you know, popping around us, sometimes it distracts us, and we can lose our focus and lose our way. And then it's, well, what was I doing? Where was I going? What did I have in mind? What's the next thing I need to do? And that's how the devil treats us, spiritually speaking. He's trying to distract us in this noisy world with all kinds of things coming our way to cause us to lose focus and to not be able to hear the things that we want to hear, even in the things that we should. You know, I think of the sounds like traffic and beeps of technology and our phones ringing. You know, our phones are constantly ringing, it seems. And then we hear shortcomings, those things draw our attention away from what's going on, cause us to reflect on our failures and cause us to be shameful and those kinds of things, and remind how worthy we are. And truly, we are a lost people as we stand before God, except that we take advantage of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we think on these things, I can't help but wonder how many distractions you and I suffer through on a regular day when we're just trying to be Christians for the day. What kind of distractions do we have that cause us to lose our aim, cause us to lose our focus? You know, I had a friend that told me one time that he constantly had meetings going on in his head. He was constantly thinking about those things, and his mind was always filled with with multiple voices. You know, there were the things he was hearing and those people and how they were disagreeing. And no, he was not someone who needed to go to a mental health facility. He was not schizophrenic. He was dealing with those same kinds of things that you and I deal with all the time. Those voices that say, well, when I meet this person, this is what I want to say to them, or I need to listen to that, or how are these people going to interact, and how am I going to try to diffuse these kinds of situations? And when all of these go on back and forth, it needs to be caring about people, but we need to remain focused. We need to keep our aim high. Because we live in a world where there's so much talk and so many words, so many meetings, and so much information, it's just overwhelming. We can't even hardly take it in and make sense of it, much less live the lives that we endeavor to as God's people sometimes. So how do we take aim with all of these distractions? I was thinking again about the Olympics, you know, when it comes to keeping things on track, because the Olympians are those people who are trained very well, and they do what they do, and they spend a lot of time focused because they have a high aim. They want to get that gold medal, and so they're working very diligently on these things, and they don't allow all kinds of other things to get in the way. They have a focus, and they're going to stick to it. I once knew a man in Tennessee that made barbecue. You know, it's not an uncommon thing to find a good barbecue place in Tennessee, by the way. And I asked him, I said, what does it take to make good barbecue and run a good barbecue business like you have? And he said to me, Jeff, we just make it consistently. We do one thing and we do it well. He said, you notice I don't have all kinds of things on the menu. We do one thing and we do it well. And of course, you know, there are little things along the side, but his focus was on the barbecue. Well, when we think about this life and all of the things that distract us and the big things that can distract us, you know, because we do have to earn a living, we have to have places to stay, we have to have food to eat and ways to go where we're trying to go. So we're having to earn some livings, but sometimes we can allow those things to get in the way and cause us to lose the greater aim, which is that of heaven. Because we've heard the saying before, you're not going to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, are you? The truth of the matter is, when we leave this life, the most important thing we have is to make sure that we are right with God. And like the Olympians, we need to make that thing our focus. You see, because the Olympians understand that they not only represent themselves, but they represent the country that they're from. And when we consider this and think about the fact that they want to strive to win, not just to represent themselves, but to represent their country, we as Christians can find ourselves in similar positions because we want to win the race to bring glory unto God. We want to do those things to draw attention to Him. And anyone, by the way, who fights the fight of this life just to say they've fought it, or just to win a race to say they've won the race, well, these are sort of selfish people, if you will, prideful to say the least. But God's people run the race of life to finish for Jesus Christ. Finishing with the best record we possibly can, and with those things in mind, as we look at our text tonight, we can see that there are three essential things to winning the spiritual race for Jesus and keeping our aim where it needs to be. The first thing that we see is forgetting the past and putting those things behind us that are noise that distract us from where we're trying to go. When we look there, we see he said, brethren, Paul writes, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now notice here that the contestants are brethren. They would be those who are Christians. These are the ones of whom Paul speaks. And this is the race of the Christian life. Now notice with this idea that commitment is demanded. If Have you ever seen an Olympian go out to go run a race or to swim or to do any of these things? And if they talk to them, you know how the sports people do, where they don't have the microphone stick it in the face. And what are you doing? You know, and you say, well, we worked really hard to get here today, but I don't know if we're going to do any good or not. There's so many other faster people here. I don't think I can do this. You don't see them doing that when they come to the Olympics. They go to interview someone. We work very hard. It's going to be a lot of stiff competition, but there's no problem. I'm going to get out there and do my very best, and I'm going to do all that I can to bring the gold home for my country. That's what we see. Why then do we sometimes as Christians lower our aim? Why do we lower our aim? Why do we think there's the gold and the prize is there, but I don't know. Because of the past. We know that we have fallen. We know that we have sinned. We know that we have shortcomings, and we want to wallow in those things. Think about the Olympian. If he were to drop his aim because he said, you know, a month ago I took a day off and I really needed to be working out. I needed to be doing all those things that I had to prepare, and I took a day off, and I really messed up that day. So because I messed up that day, I'm not going to try anymore. No, we don't see him do that, do we? And say, you know what? Not only is it a problem because I took that day off, you know what I've got to do? I've got to work harder now because I've got to make up for that time that I lost. I've got to get really involved in what I'm doing so I can keep my focus on the goal. I'm not going to lower my aim simply because I stumbled. What I'm going to do is double up my effort, and I'm going to put the past behind me. Water's under the bridge. I'm going to move forward because I'm committed to what I'm going to do. And notice that commitment is needed as we look at this passage. There Paul writes, I've not yet apprehended. Paul's saying he hasn't yet come to the place of victory, because victory indeed requires. Anyone who is going to succeed at the Christian life is going to have to be committed to make that happen. But the devil will come with tons of noise to try to take our attention away, to make much ado about our failures, so he will make us have this sense of giving up if we're not careful. The challenge for you and I in this race is to forget those things that are behind. Because he's focused. He says, this one thing I do. That shows a life that is committed to the challenge. Paul is saying that nothing in the past is going to hinder his presence. Did you get that? Nothing in the past will hinder his presence. Oh, that we could remember to be people of God who won't let their past hinder their present. The devil wants to remind us of those things. He wants to create noise and draw us away, cause us to lose our focus, cause us to lose our aim. And you see, the runner is not going to win the race if he spends all of his time looking where he's been. Matter of fact, it might be quite comical because he might run into a pole. The runner is not going to win if he's looking at everyone else either. Have you ever seen that happen? Those races, the Olympic races, and this guy's got his focus on and he's out there in the front, and then he takes just that split second to check and see where everybody else is, and then somebody pops right by him. We don't have time to be looking at everybody else. We need to be measuring our standard with God and using His Word to do so. That's where we need to go, and not be looking around at everyone else or focusing on past defeats, because defeats are really noise. Noise that, distracts us and threatens our aim for the future. We actually might think focused and aiming, but our attention may be divided, and we've given ourselves excuse for that. Our minds can be so easily distracted, and many times we find ourselves in situations where we're spending our time focusing on those things that are difficult around about us, and we're not paying attention to how well Satan has drawn our attention away from our focus on God. You know, I think about focus when I'm driving. You know, you hear me tell about these things because that's one of my little pet peeves about driving and how people behave on the highway sometimes, and how folks don't pay attention. They'll change lanes in an intersection and they'll do one thing and then another and change lanes with no turn signal, and just like they think they're Moses and they're going to part the water, they're going to do all these things. And the next thing you know, I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking about that last person that really did something silly, and now somebody stopped in front of me and I lost my focus. My aim was not where it should be. I wasn't looking in front of me. My mind, my eyes were looking at the taillights in front of me, but my mind was somewhere else. And we can find ourselves caught in spots like that, and so we don't even notice that we've gotten distracted. And then we can find ourselves so caught up in so many things that we might even, if we were to sit with someone, find ourselves really in a position to be diagnosed with something like attention deficit disorder. And it's because there's so many things that are coming in our direction. We're in such a deficit of giving attention because our outer world is so very noisy, and our inner words may be shouting at us about what we should have done and should have accomplished and already become in this world. But perhaps, rather than taking a medication, we can learn to listen deeply to what God has given us in His Word, so we can put our focus on what's important. You know, I remember growing up in a house where we thought we were big time. When we came along, we had two phones in the house. There was one in the kitchen and one in Mom and Dad's bedroom when we were big time. The little slimline phones, boop, boop, touch tone, not even the rotary, you know. We were big time. And when the phone rang, why, as kids, we dropped whatever we were doing. I mean, it didn't matter what, you know, things flying in the air, everybody racing to go to get to the phone. And one day my dad had just had enough, and he said, I tell you, when that phone rings and we're having dinner, I don't care if it rings off the hook. There are some things that are just more important than running to the phone when it rings. You notice when we get together as God's people to worship before Him, what do we have to remind ourselves of? Turn these things down, turn them off. And you know, I believe that even around the family table now, it might be, there may be more of us than we would like to admit. I would have to say somebody needs to muster up the courage to say, when we're spending time together, having an evening meal as a family, those phones need to be turned off. We don't need to be taking pictures of what we're eating for supper and putting it on Facebook. We need to keep our focus. And we can so easily lose it because the devil is working with so much noise to draw our attention away from the things that are truly important. When we come together as God's people, let's think carefully and let's be fully present with each other. Let's keep our aim where it belongs, on the Almighty God above. You know, we're familiar with what we read there in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. There's Mary and Martha there. They're there in the presence of Jesus. And Martha, she was overly preoccupied with so many things. She was keeping all of the things straight. Everybody had to have the pillows had to be fluffed and the things had to be done and all the things were in order. And then we hear that, Mary got praise because she was so attentive to what Jesus had to say and she was listening deeply to him. And we've heard these things kind of preached for years and that they're different kinds of people and how all we need to be more like Mary. But when you study the way Jesus taught, we realize that each one of us actually has a little bit of Mary and a little bit of Martha in our lives. A part of us wants the deeper, more intimate things of God, while another part is distracted, busy, and living life and finding ourselves with attention deficit to those things that are spiritual. This really, as we look at it, is an example of learning to experience the presence of God and being fully present when we gather before Him. When we, as God would have it, and forget the past, we'll get the noise out of the way. And looking at these things, we see also that Paul writes that he was reaching in the present. He was striving for that goal and pressing forward, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, this takes strength. You know, and Adam Clark made this note about this phrase, reaching forth. The Greek word points out the strong exertions made in the race, he said. Every muscle and every nerve is exerted, and he puts forth every particle of strength in his running. Basically, the runner gives it all he's got. Paul's saying, I strive for, I reach for those things that are in front of us. Those things are what's important. I keep my priorities where they belong. And even though there will be times of exhaustion where the runner wants to quit, there will be times of exhaustion where the Christian says, I just can't go anymore. And when I hear those kinds of things, that the things that cross my mind are the times when the athletes were on the television and one fell and one couldn't go anymore and another came back to help them. So they finished the race together. There will be times also when maybe the runners make you mad enough to want to quit. There will be times when you feel like you can't win anyway, so what's the point? We need to stay in there anyway. We need to never give up, keep our aim high, and stay in there anyway. Endurance or stamina is the key to fighting the present race. We need to keep our eye on the target, and this means simplicity. I've talked to several people lately, and when I use this phrase, I just want to keep it simple. Everybody that I come in contact says, yes, I want to keep it simple. Why? Because we live in a world where people just try to seem to make things so complicated. I just want to keep it simple. And when we keep God as our priority, everything else falling in line behind Him, we can keep it simple. Simply reaching toward Him with all that we have, reaching for that prize, having that desire to finish the race with the best time. And that's what keeps us going because we're representing not only ourselves, but for the satisfaction of knowing that we are pleasing. We see our athletes and we'll say, I've dedicated this to my mom, or I dedicated this to my dad. You know, I love to hear one comedian talk about how he He trained his son from the time he's a little boy to play football. You know, come here, son, knock him down. You know, and all those kinds of things, training him to play football. Spent all this time with us. He was growing up, great son, playing football. And he said, the first time my son was on national TV, he said, "Hi, Mom." We need to keep it simple. Keep it simple. Reaching and looking toward God always. Running for heaven. Just because we want to be crowned, but because we want to bring glory to our God all along the race. Bringing glory to our God all along the race. That's what gives us that motivation so that we can lean on the power of the Almighty God. When we're out of gas, God has plenty to help us defeat Satan. We can't do it on our own. We need our help us along the way, and Satan can be defeated if we will lean on him and keep our aim high. There we'll be able to finish with the prize. We look there at verse 14. And he says, "I press toward the mark or the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice he uses this word press, a pursuit. He's chasing. What is the prize that is worth running so long and so for? It's not salvation, because salvation was already won at Calvary. We do what we do for our God and obey him so that we can give him glory along the way and reach that goal of heaven. That is the prize that is worth all that we could possibly do in this life. The prize for the Olympic Games: a gold medal that can be worn. This prize brings great honor to the victor. As is a bit different. We're to strive for the crowns that we can lay all along the way, because we understand that without him, we cannot win the race. I wonder, some places we hear wanting to win races and things of this nature because they want to honor other people. Indeed, we need to be the same way. We should want to win the race of holiness and then give all the trainer and master, Jesus Christ. This, by the way, is what this world cannot understand about Christians. Why we live our lives for someone else. But I believe that you, like me, want to be able to lay our rewards at Jesus' feet and see him smile in satisfaction of the race that we have run. You know, a runner never wins a race until he or she has envisioned crossing the finish line. We need to envision crossing that finish line. That means that we're going to have to aim at something. We're going to have our aim high, if you will. Because Satan is going to do everything he can to distract us and draw us away. So as we set our aim high on that place called heaven, we realize that there's a large hole in the road, if you will, between us and God. How do we build that bridge? Because there's this thing called sin. And this thing called sin has prevented us from being able to reach that goal. So what do we do about that? Jesus built a bridge for you and I. Dying on that cross at Calvary, shedding innocent blood so that you and I can run the Christian race and cross that bridge in humble obedience to Him, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. As He tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 24, we'll perish if we don't believe that He is the Son of God. We'll never be able to complete this race and reach heaven. But then He tells us that if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to change our direction. We're going to have to change our direction across the bridge. And that's what we're talking about when we use the word repent. To repent of ungodly things. To make this change in our lives. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except we repent, we're going to likewise perish. We need to heed His call. He also tells us, as we read there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, that He will confess us before the Father, if we'll confess Him before others. Having done that, we need to have our sins washed away in that humble and obedient act of baptism. And tonight, all things are ready. But it could be, having done all of these things, that somewhere along life pathway, we've lost our aim. We've been distracted and with all the noise of this world and fallen victim to Satan's devices. And there we read in 1 John chapter 2 some very precious words to help us along with these things. My little children, John writes, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we can know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Tonight, dear friend, if you find yourself distanced from God because your aim has been too low, tonight's the night to put your aim back where it belongs, on the God above, completely obeying Him. We've had a beautiful day, but friend, we're not promised another. Prayer tonight is this, that you'll not allow this hour to pass without making all things right with God. Won't you be His now as together we stand and sing?